Thanks for listening to Ace on the House on Podcast One.
Now on Podcast One Sports, it's a family affair on Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast.
We're going to attack this day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind.
Hear incredible stories on Sound of Success, the Dick Enberg podcast.
Oh my.
And guess who's talking America's favorite basketball team?
Hey, it's Jay Moore, and it is time for America's Lakers podcast.
Listen on Apple Podcasts, the new Podcast One app. And where else, Jay?
PodcastOne.com.
This is Corolla Digital.
Taking calls, home improvement tips, straight from the Ace Man's lips to those in need. They cover it all, A to Z, roof to basement and in between. Raise on the ladder and Ace got the hammer. Fixing your trouble with hilarious banter. So send your emails to the postal and punisher with his old buddy Ray. It's Ace on the House.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on. Mandate, get it on. Welcome to Ace on the House.
Hello, Adam.
I'm Ace. That's Ray Oldhofer over there, everybody.
How you doing?
Yeah, man. Tariq El Moussa. Yeah, man. Tariq El Moussa is going to be coming in here from Flip or Flop on HGTV. You can check out the website, hgtv.com. I've seen the show. Gary's a fanatic about the show. I love all these shows as well. So
spawned a bunch of spinoffs.
Oh, really?
There's a new Atlanta one that's
recent. Was
that
the OG one?
That's the OG one. And then there's also Las Vegas. And then I read, at least, that there's going to be a total of 5 spinoffs. But apparently, Tark's not in on the production side of things. So
there's a Midwest one, too,
no
right?
No go-ray me for him, unfortunately.
Well, we'll talk to him all about that and that business and how it could work. And Ray?
Yeah.
You're working on yourself, of course, but what else are you working on?
Saw your dad this Saturday.
Oh, what'd you two winners accomplish?
We actually, he usually has an appointment after mine, and he didn't, so we hung out for 2 hours.
Wow.
It was great.
What'd you guys figure
fantastic.
Out? Get something done?
The way of the world.
My dad's going to do it all.
He's doing great.
He's going to take care. He's going to do it.
All right, settle.
All right. All
He's
right.
a great guy.
No,
don't pretend like you don't love your dad, because you do love your dad.
My dad is a great guy who doesn't do anything. And
he ain't moving too well these days, bro. Not that he ever ran a marathon, but I'm just
saying. He wasn't
moving
too well when he was in his 30s. Here's what I'm saying. Can I say this?
Can we bring Tariq in now?
He's not here yet. Give him a break. All right. Now, we got your questions. Okay. And, I'm trying to think of what I'm down with. Let me tell you this. Can I tell you this?
Yeah.
I walk around and I look at Terrazzo, right? It's my move.
That's your
thing.
I just
look down. I was at the LA Convention Center yesterday. Everywhere I go with Mike August, every airport, every convention, everywhere we go, I just go look down and it goes Terrazzo. I will say this, and I lay down the 2x2 Terrazzo tiles famously in my home. And this, that, and the other, and it was all good. But I'll tell you, between the dog and the kids and all the commotion, the white grout, little bit of a bitch to keep clean.
Yeah, I would have went with the I would have went with the epoxy grout, like I was telling you about.
The epoxy
grout. It stays white. You know, now you're going to have to clean it and clean it and clean it. You drop anything on it, it's
well, listen, stain. I used the grout that the guy laid the tile, who talked to the guy who made the tile, told him to use. So I'm not like I can't get
deviate
in between the guy who manufactures the tile and the guy who lays the tile and go, I got my own thoughts on grout. So that's what they did. And look, it's fine. You just have to keep after it. You got a dog running in and out all day. You got kids running in and out all day.
But is the color variance between the Terrazzo and the grout, is it that just shines that it's dirty, right?
It's like,
or it gathers hair, or whatever
you
the hell it
keep,
does.
You got to keep after it. I am saying I get the mono pour. Like I get the no grout lines vibe now. Like I get that super industrial, just one big pour, one big grind, and for the rest of your life, you take a hose to that mother if
done.
You want to clean it off.
You know what would have been cool, too, with your 2x2s? Instead of grouting, if you did a aluminum ribbon.
Yeah, but times...
Could have looked really cool.
Times 86 tiles?
Would look too weird.
No, it'd be too much, but also be too... It'd take too long. But look, it's fine. For the next, you know, I'm working...
You're moving.
I'm moving. I'm not moving, but I'm working on the next house. So that's my...
Lesson learned, then.
Yeah, I didn't know. I got all those stupid commercials I've seen my whole life with the you know, the traffic and the kids and the dogs and all that kind of stuff, and they talk about the moms.
Yeah.
I didn't know it'd be the dads worrying about it the whole time.
Well, look at you sitting there. Of course it'd be you.
I'm just looking down going, we got to clean this shit. What's going on up in here? All right. So lots of interesting stuff. I got a concept for you, Ray. I got a general concept. Tell me what you think. Okay.
Yeah.
And then Matt, you tell us you got a if we got a phone call or we got a video call or whatever it is. And if you got phone calls, Gary, throw them up so I can see.
We do not yet. They may be being screened.
Okay. Now, dig, Ray. You ready to dig?
I'm digging.
And again, I have these thoughts, these design thoughts. I don't know what it means, but I was sitting around and I was thinking about building on my new house. And I want to build just a once-in-a-lifetime, live there, and really have it built the way I want it built. For the way we live, for the stuff I want, for the stuff that makes sense to me. You know, growing up in a house.
Barn.
A barn with two front doors.
And
next to each other, and a goddamn kitchen that was laid out so the refrigerator was like halfway in the hall and like cut the house in half. Like you couldn't walk. I couldn't get to my bedroom without banging my shoulder on the kitchen on the goddamn refrigerator, which would be hanging out into the hallway.
Bedroom, hold on. What?
Oh, the porch.
No, the built-on, yeah.
I couldn't get to the porch with the exposed 2x4s, the plywood up on the roof. No insulation, like it's so bad, so much.
Hey, do you? Think,
I just want to build it right. I want
that,
it for me.
You think child services would have intervened had they known, like, about your living conditions as a child?
I'm trying to think.
Like you were next to the hot water heater too, right?
Oh, that's right. I always
it
forget
was exposed.
About. I forget about that. I had in my room Matt Fondelier, the man whose mom's. Father's vanity license plate reads underdog, and mom's is a composite between Matt and his younger sister, Becky. And I don't know if it's like a Matt back or something
Matt
on it.
Back, yeah, you're pretty close
right.
there.
So someone who comes from that.
Are you kidding me? Is that true?
I would love.
Do you think Adam would make that up?
Oh, my God.
I would love. And Gary sitting next to him, his mom sent him a box of chocolates the other day, like he's Forrest Gump.
Oh, you'd be disgusted if I told you all the shit she sent here.
I gotta know because,
well,
he
is.
All right, if somebody said to my mom, "Hey, let's get a license plate made up for you," she'd be like, "Why? What, like, with your kids' names?"
She couldn't remember who they are.
How much? What do you mean? How much? How much do I get paid? No, you pay. We pay for a license? No. Why? Why would she'd be like she'd be a little confused. She'd be mostly confused and a little bit angry. Like, why would you do that? Who would do that? And then if you said to her, there are people who do that, she'd go, oh, come on. Get out of here. It costs $60. What? That's a whole car. What are you talking about?
That's a whole car.
Again, my grandmother, famously, when her brother blew his own head off in her house, when I said to...
Which house?
Old house off of Whitsitt, you know, 1,000 square feet or 800 square
feet. The
one
I know.
No. Not that pile of shit. A smaller pile of shit off of Whitsitt. And I said to my grandma, many years later, Robert, her brother, killed himself. I said, weird, right? Moving into the house, you know? Where he killed himself? And she's like, what? the house. You know, like, what, when he killed himself. Yeah, that his grandfather became a grandfather's office. Yeah, weird, though, right? Moving in where he killed himself.
Oh, creepy.
What do you, why? What are you talking, why? I said, that's a, some people would have feelings about moving into a house where somebody killed themselves. She went, why? I said, I don't know. They have, about your brother killed himself in the house. You just move in the next day, then no big deal. Yeah, what's the deal?
Did he kill himself with your planer?
I said, I said, Grandma, and we should ask Tarek this. I said, you know, there's a real estate code that, like, if somebody killed themselves in the house within, like, 3 years or 5 years, you have to disclose it.
Yeah.
She went, get the fuck out of here. I said, no, it's a rule. She went, what? Why? What? She thought I was talking, like if somebody said, hey, if somebody used Febreze in the house in 5 years, you have to, or had wind chimes. Like, that's what she was talking about, that, but with suicide. And she was like, get out. And I was like, no, people think about these things. And she's like, why? I'm like, okay, all right. Well, maybe no vanity plates for you, Grandma. My room had the water heater in it.
Yeah.
Always nice to sleep next to a boiling pot of water that could explode. I had the water heater in my room. Also, yeah, I guess I probably should have died of, like, carbon monoxide poisoning.
And it was a club. There was no, it wasn't an actual room. It was more like a outbuilding that you stored paint cans in.
Yeah. So I had the water heater in the room. I had the washing machine in the room, but not the dryer. No, we're
strictly clothesline.
Strictly clothesline, just a washing machine, no dryer. I guess that's a blessing. Maybe I should count my blessings, right? No, I didn't have a dryer in my
Unless
room.
It was a stack, gave you a little room.
They hadn't invented stacks back then, and if they did, we were still 10 years off of
whatever.
We had to find
available.
Ones that were used, right? Washing machine, the water heater, and famously the meter. That was my Green Acres moment. The meter guy'd have to come into my room once a month. Guy'd have to bang on the back door, let him in. I had a back door in my room. It was a service porch. I don't know. It was a big metal door, remember?
Yeah.
And the meter guy come up. He'd walk right into my room. And he'd go into the closet. He'd open the closet door. He'd read the meter and he'd leave. I don't know what percentage of people are reading meters inside of a house. I don't think many.
I don't think that's even allowed anymore.
I don't think it's allowed. Oh, the room was definitely just bootlegged, so that the meter was on the back of the house, and they built the shed around the meter, and that was Ace Man's room. So now, I'd like to get something a little more comfortable. See what I'm saying, Ray?
Yeah, I hear you.
Well, let me ask you this, Ray. I appreciate and respect your design expertise. I got a question. It kind of came on to me. But you tell me. Tell me if this is a good idea or not. First, I'll tell you about a great idea. Tommy John. Summer's gone, but the sweat, man, it won't quit. Especially working out, riding your bike, out there jogging, walking the dog. Fortunately, Tommy John's putting an end to those sticky situations. 21st century men's underwear. These guys are just the best. Everything. I have a few different brands. Yeah, Ray's wearing them right now.
A few
different brands in my underwear drawer. And I just thumb through them until I find the Tommy John's and I pull them out. I can't throw away the other ones because they were expensive. But I never wear them. I only wear the Tommy John. And I give a little shot of talcum down there before I leave the house, too. Ultra-light, breathable fabrics that move with you, not against you. No riding up ever. Impossible to get a wedgie. Plus, time-saving, horizontal, quick-draw fly, man. Socks that stay up. Patented undershirts, never come untucked. All backed by the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. It's Tommy John. No adjustment needed. Matt.
Hurry to TommyJohn.com/Adam and get 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam.
I've been doing a little rough. I'm putting together a theory. And I'm putting together, I've been doing a little survey around here in the other shop about the favorite ingredients in a soft taco. Seems to be.
Well, hold on. What about your house?
I'll tell you that in a second.
All right.
I got to tell you, Jacob over at the other shop, Jacob. I said to him, I'm going doing a survey. Said, what do you like in your soft tacos? He said, what's a soft taco? I said, it's a taco that's soft.
Chorizo.
He said, what's the difference between a soft taco and a burrito? I said, are you shitting? What year is it? What's going on? You don't? No, I don't know. Is it like a burrito?
This is the man that you trusted to edit your film, sir.
What goes on in the life of humans? Like, what? James like, well, so what's the difference between a burrito and a soft taco? It's like, well, a burrito is a fucking burrito, and a soft taco is a fucking soft taco. Like, really? In the United States, in 2017, are you like I understand if you're like an early settler.
In Southern California.
In Southern California. We're having a discussion about what a soft taco is versus a burrito. Wow. All right.
I'd be careful with that because the Mexicans are going to kill him.
Yeah. He could be killed. All right. What do you think about this? You ready?
Mm-hmm.
So I got this house. It's on a hill.
I know it.
You know,
I've seen it.
We got to, you know, the whole idea is retain the hill, dig it out, retain it. But you can only go back so far and so high. You know what I mean? With the retaining of the hill. And you go back. And then I always think about, and then you want to take the house and you want the house to be pushed back as far as you possibly can. Because the way the property runs, it's kind of left to right, but there's not a lot front to back. So you'd like to retain as much as you can in the back and set the house back as far as you can set the house back.
And to your point, I would backfill the front.
Okay.
Well, so you get that. More in the front.
You got that too, yeah.
And then split the difference with the back.
Right. But I had this thought the other day. Because I was thinking about that little horrible, I've seen it in the Hill Houses a million times, that weird little dog run thing, which is like you built the retaining wall in the back, and then you have that 6 foot of space between the house and the back retaining wall.
Yeah.
And it's always kind of a mess, and there's nothing you can do with it or anything. Some people put a hibachi out there or something, but it's like, and you're staring at a retaining wall out your kitchen window. I thought.
I know what you're thinking.
I'm going all the way back, and the retaining wall is the back of the house.
Yeah. Just put a ledger on that. That's
just,
it.
Just go straight back. Go as far as you can go back. And there's nothing to look at anyway. Just make that whole back wall the retaining wall.
Make the whole the back of the house.
Whole back of the house. Yeah.
Not a bad idea. Yeah, I'm with you.
I like that idea.
But I also want a roof deck. All maybe right. Two.
All right. Our guest is here. Should we walk him in? Tarek El Moussa.
I like that idea.
Yeah.
What's that wall going to be at? Like 2 feet of gunite at the bottom?
How thick?
Yeah.
I'm sure it'll be 2 foot, probably come up about 10 foot, maybe
more.
11 foot, something like that. Well, you don't want it to come up too high because you don't want it to get into the second story too much. You
know, right, maybe cantilever it out then to the second story.
It could come up. No, because if you think about the bottom of a window on the second story.
You don't want it inhibited at all.
Yeah, you don't want it coming up to the bottom of that. But we'll bring Tarek in and talk to him about flipping and flopping and real estate and everything else. He's got his coffee mug. He's getting settled in. He's sitting down. He's pulling up his microphone. And now he's talking into it. Flip or flop on HGTV. Good to see you.
Very nice to meet you.
So let's talk about. I don't know. Let's say there's a couple listening, or a single person listening, and they're thinking about taking a house and flipping it, and they're going on their first house. What are some of the parameters? What are you looking for? People always ask us: do we put the money into like doing sod in the front yard, curb appeal, or should we put it into the kitchen? What do we do with it? What's your advice?
Well, you know, the most important thing is making sure you buy right. So you have to get educated, you have to do your research, and really make your money when you buy. When it comes to remodeling a house, I think the most important thing is to check out the comps, right? So you look at pictures of what other houses are selling for, and when you fix up and remodel your specific property, you want to copy that. So you don't want to overimprove for the area, and you don't want to underimprove.
How about this notion, and maybe it's a high-end, like a highfalutin notion, maybe this doesn't happen on a sort of lower scale, but I was just telling Ray, there's this house that's sort of near my house, incredibly built. The thing is, I walked through it, and as a former carpenter and prosecutor. Mm-hmm. Yes. And adjunct.
You didn't know that.
Law professor at the Loyola Marymount. I walked through this house, and I went, my God, this house is impressive. Like, every detail. Like, incredibly. Now, the house, they're trying to get, like, $3.7 million for this house, and mm-hmm. the neighbor's house are $1.7 or $2 million. And I said, this house is amazing. And I was even thinking about it, and then, like, the next day, I talked to a realtor. I was like, they sold it already. And I said, what'd they get? Oh, they got asking. I was like, wow, they got quite a bit more. It came up for sale a year later. I went and looked at it again, and I was like, all right, well, then what are they going to do now? They want another $300,000. I was like, how can they do that? The neighborhood's $2 million. They want almost, you know, $4 million or $4 million. It's like sold for over asking. So I thought, like, in that case, the thing was so well done that everyone walked in there and went, oh my God, I've got to have this. There's like that element as well, but is that only on the higher end stuff?
Yeah, so it's very unique right now. So you look at different neighborhoods. For example, I live in Newport Beach. So they're developing these areas. So what's happening is you get a lot of value in the dirt, and you have these older, smaller homes selling for a specific price. But what's happening is people are coming in and completely fixing, remodeling, building houses. And in those specific areas, with people that have the income and the financial ability to buy them, they are buying them. And what's happening is all the property values are being raised, and new properties are continuing to be built. So at the end of it, the entire overall neighborhood is going to increase.
So first things first, find the right property, find the right home, the right bones, the right comp. I mean, what you're looking for is, right, if the comps are $1 million, you want to get yours for $725 and be into it for $8 million.
Yeah, something like that. You know, typically for a net profit, we shoot for about 12% to 13%.
And is there a timeline?
As fast as we can get it done.
So 1 month.
Yeah, I wish. So, you know, ideally we try to do entire remodel in about 2 months. Sometimes we get it done in 6 weeks. Sometimes it takes 4 or 5 months. Just kind of depends. But, you know, ultimately you want to get it done as fast as possible and save as much money as possible.
Is there – I feel like a lot of contractors are busy these days, at least out here. I don't know, the economy, the stock market, whatever. People are feeling confident and people are doing a lot of work. Are you having trouble finding good guys who can set tile and, you know, run conduit and things like that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've been doing this for a lot of years now, and one thing I can say is the prices have definitely increased. When we first got in the business, you know, people were fighting to get the jobs, and now, you know, it's trying to get them to show up. That's the hard part, because obviously the economy is good, real estate goods, construction is good, so it's definitely more difficult to find good people at a fair price.
The day rates have went from like 150 a day to, like, oh no, I'm 350 now.
Yeah, it's gone.
It's crazy.
It's gone absolutely crazy. I would say I spent about 50% more on my rehabs than I did in 2010.
Wow. Just, yeah, labor.
Just overall, labor and material. I mean, everything's increased, you know, because that's supply and demand market.
So. Now, do you pick all your mediums? And when you're doing a remodel, you do it all. You have the vision for it. You design it. Everything.
Yeah, so what's unique, we do flip a lot of houses, most of them off the show. So once you get a design done, you can take that same design and do it over and over at different houses in different neighborhoods. So it kind of takes out the thinking, because it's a pre-designed home.
So you're just replicating what you know is going to work. You're replicating it wherever you can.
Absolutely.
For time-wise, too.
Exactly. Make it really simple.
Is
smart.
I guess the style nowadays is open, clean, just I couldn't imagine living, especially with a family, and the way houses used to be, with all the little rooms all over the place and the kitchen all closed off and just all these little pods all over the place. It's so nice now with everything, these sort of wide open floor plans. But I'm guessing that's the future, or that's where we're at right now.
I mean, absolutely, that's where we're at. I mean, the most important thing is making sure you have an open floor plan. So a lot of times you'll have separation between the kitchen and the rest of the house. So regardless of the price in the neighborhood, we try to remove that wall and add an island or a peninsula.
Because you want eye line open.
Absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, you can have a beautifully remodeled house, but you're in the kitchen, you can't see your family, and you can't watch TV, and you can't hang out with your kids, right? So it's really important to open up the space.
For you, what is your price range? What's your average flip on your house?
You know, that's a tough one. I would say, you know, probably 400. Actually, no, not 400. Prices have gone up. I would probably say 500,000 to 700,000. Although we have gone as high as 2.5 million.
that scarier prospect when you're going that high?
I mean, definitely. It's definitely scarier. The risk is much higher. You have higher construction costs, higher carry costs, and when the market does shift, you don't want to be caught with your hand in the cookie jar. So it is definitely scarier. So I'm more of a volume-based real estate investor.
Matt, we got questions that we could possibly answer.
Tarek, how many houses would you have on the market at one time? Like, what's the most you were holding?
Well, the most we've ever been holding owned as an inventory under construction for sale or an escrow, we were at 74.
Oh!
So, yeah.
Wow.
Jeez.
It's a big, a big monthly nut.
I wouldn't sleep.
Yeah, so... With that kind of monthly nut, the idea is we got to get these things sold or we got to move.
Right. Like, so, you know, what I did find when we were holding 74 houses, we were actually making less money because of the holding cost, because of trying to get everything organized and dealing with the contractors. So we were trying to build at a very fast pace. So now when we're flipping, we're probably holding anywhere between 40 to 50 at a time.
And that's more manageable?
It is more manageable, yeah.
It still scares me, even hearing that number.
Oh, it scares the crap out of me, too.
What are you doing here?
I'm not so scared anymore. You know, I have a good idea of what's going on with the market. I make sure I buy right. But, you know, if the market does slow down and shift, I'm a realistic seller, and I'll drop my prices and unload the properties while everybody's trying to hold on to a high price.
Who are you buying from? I feel like almost everything I've ever bought was from the kids of the deceased. Usually the mom. So the dad passes away a little bit earlier. So the situation is this. They buy a house when school teachers could buy a house in Studio City or wherever, you know, back when you could do it on those salaries, you know. And it's just like the sort of the humble couple, and they have a couple kids and blah, blah, blah. And they bought the house for $63,000 in 1961. And they sit in, they live, and then the dad passes away. Then the mom lives there. And then the mom passes away. And the next thing you know, the kids are sitting on $875,000 of crappy house.
And the kids don't like each other.
And the kids don't like each other. But it always seems like every house I've ever bought.
That's his ad campaign, by the way. That's what he puts in the paper.
I bought from those kids.
No, you're absolutely right. You know, I would say the majority of the homes we buy are off-market deals. And a large majority of those are people that inherited properties that don't want to deal with them, that don't have the financing to fix them up, and they just want to get their cash out. So we buy a lot of properties like that.
Do they ever buy from you just because you're you? I'm saying yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a possibility. We sell our houses really fast. You know, we do a good job. We get multiple offers, and we price them right, and we usually go above list.
Matt, you got a question? Do we have a question?
Oh, we sure do. We got an email question. Please email us, aceonthehouse@adamcarolla.com, and send us your pictures. And you can see the pictures on aceontheroof.com. So here's an email from Jim in Chicago. Hey, guys, get it on. I'm 29 and owner of two condos in Chicago.
Winner.
Sorry, Ray.
Sorry, Ray.
Our new place has a bedroom off the kitchen area. There is a space above the curved wall that divides the kitchen and bedroom. I'd like to put something there to seal off the bedroom so noise doesn't travel from the kitchen. Is there some sort of pre-made panel or window that could go across there? Or how would you guys close this off? Thanks.
Man, that's a
next question.
I'm trying to visualize that, but I don't.
It's open on the ceiling through.
Looks like that curved wall right there doesn't go quite all the way to the top.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So there's a gap. There's this ceiling gap, and it's the whatever's
it's
like going
it's
on
an
in the kitchen.
After the fact, partition wall
is carrying into the bedroom.
So they want to close that off.
Yeah.
Huh?
Is it floating the whole way, or is it connected? Okay, there's it is connected.
All right. I must say this. I was just marveling at this quiet rock stuff I used in my bedroom, which I don't know if this is the answer for this fella, but I'm just putting it out there. This 5/8 quiet rock, man, it makes a big difference in terms of outside noise coming inside. You take the quiet windows, and they have a line of quiet windows, you know, not just dual glazed or triple glazed or whatever, but they're specifically designed to keep the noise out. You take those quiet windows and you mix them with the quiet rock, and you can take a space, a master bedroom or any area, and really make it quiet from the leaf blowers and the outside world. I gotta say, and as far as the quiet rock goes, it's the same as hanging 5/8 drywall. It's no different. The sheet cost a little more.
Right.
But once...
But you're also laying your framing sideways, right?
No.
You're also putting it on a hat channel?
Nope.
No air gap?
No air gap.
Just straight to regular framing?
Just straight to regular framing. It makes a big difference. So not maybe for this application, but in general, for people that are thinking about doing a remod or they're doing especially master suite and they're thinking about where to put the tub and how to do the shower stall and all the other stuff, the walk-in closet, think about sound, like especially in that master suite, like especially when the neighbor's got a hot rod and the driveway is pretty
close.
Well,
what would you do here? I mean, the top's open. I just put a sound baffle. I do like a customized sound baffle and jam it in there.
What would that look like?
You know, when you go to a recording studio and you see like, oh, and here you have them right there. There's one. What's on the wall right here? That's a sound.
So
reflector.
You do something that's like modular.
Not, right.
That's not, you wouldn't use joint compound and drywall. You'd make something that was like modular, something you could take in. And if you sold the place, you could pull it out.
Yeah, because I don't mind the look of that so much, even though I can't see the flip side of it, because it almost looks like an architectural thing. A bad one, but...
A bad one.
Or even take that wall out, which he doesn't want to do, but just so throw the sound baffle in there. Call it a day.
All right, so how would you make the sound baffle?
Just like that one. Just wrap it with fabric.
Bad.
All right, frame it out.
Like that one.
Frame it out. All right, fellas, this is fun. Gary, go ahead, kowtow, bitch.
It's good stuff.
Anyway.
Like that one.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
You paint such a vivid picture.
Frame it out.
Frame it out with one by.
One by, whatever. Two by, you could even do it with.
Why would you do two by?
Okay, throw in the acoustic, whatever, the foam.
Yeah.
Whatever you need to do. And then wrap it with a cool fabric.
Okay.
Make it like an accent piece.
Okay. And just sort of wedge it in there. Make it.
Throw some shims on the bottom of it to push it up, pressure fit on
top. Yeah, but you don't want to do the shims. Like, you want that foam on the bottom or whatever, but you want the air gap under there.
All I know, it's a really weird-looking wall.
I mean,
you can see the kitchen right there in the dining area. I mean, if it was me, if it was like a four or five-bedroom
house. You can see that seam, too.
Yeah, it's a little odd-looking. I mean, if I were flipping it, I'd take the entire wall out. But
yeah, but I'm guessing it's a miniature condominium with, like, one bedroom. But all right, we'll go sound baffle. Do it out of one by. Speaking of one by, you know, I made Sonny a bed, bunk, you know, a platform, a riser for his mattress. I had to lower it. Too big a puss to get up that high. I had to say to everyone, everyone's kept saying, we got to lower the bed.
But he's got a fractured head.
Well, that's true.
All right.
But listen, it was pretty easy to lower. But the point is this. I wanted the space underneath it so you could walk around underneath it.
Is he going to ram his head now below it?
It'd be funny if he did. So anyway, I'm getting him up on the bunk bed. But just for those who are paying attention, I had to lower it. I had to bring it down. Let me talk about this. LifeLock, man. Equifax breach. People are asking, should I freeze my credit? Unfortunately, this step's not going to protect you against every identity fraud threat. Hackers, they got social security numbers, birth dates, driver's license. They use them to commit crimes in your name. Once your credit gets screwed up, you can't unring that bell. They'll even steal from your 401k. Now's the time to get protection with LifeLock. I've got it. You should get it. The kids have it. The wife has it. We all have it. It's 2017. You're online. Think about all the stuff you buy online. Think about how much time you spend online. The proprietary technology detects a wide range of identity threats and they'll alert you if your info is being used. But you're not going to have a problem because you're going to have LifeLock. Again, it's 2017. Holidays coming up. You guys can buy a lot of gifts online, do a lot of shopping online. You need LifeLock. Matt.
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock can help you see more than if you're just monitoring your credit. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code Adam. That's Adam for 10% off your LifeLock membership. Visit LifeLock.com and save 10% now.
Tark, what is a goal, a dream for you? A lot of these guys, there's some guys out there that build these multi-million dollar, you know, custom, they flip them, but they're not really flipping existing houses. They're going full ground up, you know, Malibu, hills of Malibu stuff. Is there a part of you that wants to do that at some point, like go for the big?
No, not really. So my ultimate goal is to own 1,000 units, meaning I'd like to own 1,000 homes or 1,000 doors where I'm going to be collecting rent. So for me, I'm looking at a long-term play and just creating a system to have cash flow every month so I can retire and relax for the rest of my life.
Oh, you'd like my mom.
I need to hang out with you.
Although I'll never retire, but
like once my, I get, no, if you're I ever get watch to your, watch your places.
If I get to 1,000, then I'll probably go for 2,000. But it's a good goal. It's a big goal, and it's motivating.
Is God, how do you vet the renters, man? I mean, there's so much range in these people. I've had a little bit of experience with it, and it goes from the neighbors are calling because the cops keep showing up because of I've had insanity, and then I've had people you never even hear from again. And then I've had people that are like, the light bulb is out in the entry hall of the condo. Can you come over and replace it? Oh, I'm not kidding. Like, can you come over and replace the light bulb? Like it's like,
I'll be right over.
It's pretty insane how much range people have in the rental department.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. So we own property in different states, and we definitely utilize management companies, so we don't have to deal with these little calls about light bulbs and stuff like that. You know, it does cost more money, but at the same time, with the opportunity to cost, it's better to spend your time on income-generating things. So when it's screening tenants, I leave it up to the management companies, and also for the local ones that we manage in-house, we just make sure they're qualified, they have income, and good credit.
Where's the biggest pain in the ass state? I feel like we're living in it. I somehow feel like in Wyoming, if you rent it, they have more dignity over there. Like, the guy'd be more apt to change his own light bulb.
You know, it's just pretty much they're a pain in the ass in every state. It's kind of everywhere. But, you know, to create long-term wealth, you got to buy rentals.
Oh, my God. I was the greatest ever when I used to rent. Because I had low self-esteem. So, I had the water heater completely go out in a house I was renting. And I was like, oh, man. I hope I don't get into trouble. I don't know why I thought that. Then I went up to the Home Depot. I bought a new water heater. I brought it back, and I installed the water heater. And then I just sent the landlord a note with the receipt for the new water heater, and I said, here's how much it was. Hope it's all right. I'm going to deduct that amount, just the amount it costs, not the amount. I, dragged the other one out to the curb, called large item pickup, had it picked up.
Installed the other
one. Totally installed it.
I would love that.
I installed it, and I just went, I hope it's okay. I deducted $283.61. Here's the receipt for the new water.
And you got a couple of places to rent to him?
I actually thought I was going to get into trouble. Like, I thought he was going to call me and go like, hey, what the fuck? We didn't agree to any of this or something.
You still owe full rent.
Oh, my
Sonny.
God. Oh, man. Why aren't there more me?
I have so little self-esteem. My landlord from the apartment that I lived in, when a new person would move in, would dedicate me to go put up their drapes and everything. Like, oh, don't worry. Anything you need, Ray will do it for you.
And not back it out of
it? No. No, I thought it was just without say.
Randy's up here. He's 53 from Washington. He's got a call about he's got attic, he's got spray bleach, got mold. What's going on? Yeah. Mold. Randy, is he up? Let me tell you a crazy mold story I had. I won't embarrass the person.
But they want the house to be all brand new. But anyway.
Oh, can you hear me?
One of the hoses for my
Randy.
Hold on, hold on, hold on. We got to retrack, reboot. I talked to a crazy person about mold in their house, and I said, how do you know you have mold? I said, yeah, I can tell. I said, well, do they have the mold detection kits? And he said, yeah, but that's only for inside the house, not inside the wall. And I said, yeah, but if you put the mold detection thing in like your bedroom, it's not detecting any mold, then you don't have a mold problem. He's like, I do have a mold problem. It's inside the wall. And I said, yeah, but if it's not coming outside of the wall to where the detection kit is, well, then who cares? And he said, yeah, it's still deadly. And I'm like, well, look, they have detection kits, and you can tell if it's in your bedroom or not. And he kept saying it's inside the wall. And I was like, everything's inside a wall somewhere. Like when you're in a submarine, the ocean's outside the wall, but you're not in the submarine. I think mold is for crazy people, but that's just me.
Ask Ed McMahon.
They lost my whole deal. My house fell through.
Yeah.
So you there?
Yep.
And my house fell through because they're telling me, you know, black mold, you're going to die. And it's been, so I went up there and I had a nice guy come over, a restoration guy. He said, that's no problem. Just go up there and take some bleach and mix it with some water and spray that all down. Well, I did that and it looks like it bleached the wood, you know, the sheathing. It looks brand new again. I guess my question is, I don't know how long to wait till to get it re-sniffed, you know, and check for the mildew or the mold. Do I wait for a few weeks or a month, or do I have them come right back after I sprayed? So I'm kind of...
Is it vented up there pretty well?
Yeah, I've got one of those solar vents up there that sucks the air out of it. That's why I was kind of confused, you know, how it got up there. You know, it's 190 degrees up there. I was kind of confused how mold would even grow in 190 degrees in the attic, but I could see it on the sheathing, you know, the plywood up there for the roofing. So I sprayed it down, and it looks better, but now I just don't want to spend the $400 to get it sniffed.
You're selling the house?
I'm trying. Well, I had to take it back off the market because now I've got to take care of this mold issue, and now I'm wondering, just what you said, that, you know, that's why the people backed out. You know, they're all worried, oh, it's going to be in the walls, and we're going to die. And
do you have a roof leak?
Nope.
The moisture's got to be coming from somewhere.
Well, it was coming from the bathroom, the hose from the vent in the bathroom where it hooks to the roof. It was leaking. It came loose just a little bit, and that moisture was coming out between the roof vent and where the bathroom hose goes up to the vent.
Bathroom hose? What bathroom hose?
You know, the vent, you know, where the your vent.
Yeah.
Yeah, your vent hose.
Well, not vent hose. Roof.
Vent pipe.
Yeah, well, this looks actually a plastic. It's plastic.
Oh.
Is it black?
No. Clear, almost looks like a dryer van. It looks clear.
So I have
it's
a kind of
white.
So I have a question like about packs. That. So how bad was the mold? Is the mold? And obviously, if you're looking to sell the property, you have to disclose that. So have you thought about having an actual licensed company come in, do the work, and give you a clean bill of health? Because if you're looking to sell the house, I think buyers might want that.
Sure. I talked to the guy, the restoration guy, and he said he'd sign off on it for me. He's kind of just was... He goes, it's not that bad. He goes, I see this all, you know, it's pretty common to see it like that near the vent. You just take, that's all we're going to do. But he says it's going to be like $5,000, $7,000. And I thought, well, because he's got to get dressed up in a hazmat suit, on mask, and he's going to charge me $5,000 or $7,000. I go, well, I'll go up there and spray it down a couple. He said, do it, you know, three or four times and makes, you know, just reapply it. And after I did it near that vent, the wood looks brand new now. Wow. You know, when you bleach it with that bleach, it.
But then he'll give you the certificate, giving you a clean bill. Is that what you're saying?
Would.
Oh, then
go get it.
Yeah, do that.
Go get it from him.
Because every time I use a remediation guy, they send somebody else out that's missing half of their respirator. They get in the Tyvek suit, and the guy charged you $4,000 for what? Nothing.
Nope.
Nothing. Clear bags taped up, labeled to where?
How much side of the freeway out here? How much of an issue is mold in terms of home inspection? It was never really, you know, in the past, it was check the mechanical systems, check the foundation, you know, check blah, 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 termite report. But I don't feel like mold in the past was something that was its own thing. Is it a separate issue?
Right. You know, when people are selling properties, they definitely do home inspections. So one thing I don't see is a buyer hiring an actual mold company to come in and inspect for mold. At the same time, if the home inspector does find mold, buyers freak out because there's such a bad stigma about it. I mean, they think, oh, my God, we're not going to be able to breathe. We're going to die. Like, seriously, they get really crazy about
mold. Kids.
Yeah.
My kid has asthma. Kid's a puss.
So your kid has asthma?
No. Fuck no. I wouldn't let my kids have asthma. I wouldn't go for that shit. I'd be like, fucking get your shit together. It's for pussies.
Breathe already.
These kids have everything because they're fucking pussies.
But we grew up with some kids with asthma.
Who?
It seemed legit.
Who had asthma?
You always heard about it. I can't name a specific kid.
Yeah, we didn't know anyone
Matt
had asthma.
For sure had asthma.
Yeah, but we didn't grow up with Matt.
Did you?
We didn't grow up with Matt. No.
Are you lying?
No, they're
not lying.
Then Haler was just... It's
like
had.
A necklace.
He just used it. It was an affect. You know what I mean? Like guys who hold a cigar but never light it. That's Matt did that within his inhaler, you know? But it wasn't...
So
there
was play sport.
There wasn't anything. There's just a little saline in there. There wasn't actual medication. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's an affect. You know, like I said. Some
All
guys
right.
with a cigar. No, we didn't know anyone. Who had asthma?
I can't. I just remember hearing about when
well,
we were little.
Well, you heard of
like
asthma.
The kid couldn't play on the yard or whatever.
Who?
The kid couldn't participate.
Right. You know everyone's name from our grade
graduating
school
class
and junior high, right? You had kids. You had weak kids. You had, like, Dane Boysen. Remember him?
Yeah.
You were assigned to protect him. He had an illness.
Yeah.
Not asthma. We knew every guy. You knew every person in our junior high and high school.
You called him. Okay.
Our grade
Hats
school.
Off. No.
Anybody?
I can't
Anyone
name
had
one.
Asthma?
I can't name one, no.
Okay. All right.
Like, definitively that I know, no.
All right. So, Matt, the air was twice as dirty in L.A., maybe five times as dirty, and no one had asthma, and everyone smoked, and no one had asthma. So what's going on? This is why I don't fucking listen to anybody.
You had asthma.
It'd be good.
asthma.
I want to know about, we were talking before you came on, about this disclosure thing. Like, if somebody commits suicide in the house or dies in the house, what is the official position and the disclosure that realtors have to make, if they have to make it at all?
Right. So you have to disclose if the death happened within 3 years. We were recently sued, I think it was for like close to $100,000, where we bought a property, someone died in the property, seller didn't disclose it, the agent didn't disclose it, and the new buyer sued us because they claimed that we knew about it. So we did lose that. And right now we are suing the seller that sold us the home.
Right. So, and
seashells on the seashore.
You're suing the sellers of the home. And obviously, if you knew about it, you probably would have disclosed it because you do so much business that you can't afford to.
Yeah, I mean, it would be stupid. I've been doing this a long time. Obviously, we're on TV. And,
but the question, so it's a 3-year period.
Yeah.
And it's from the time the house goes up for sale or the time that the escrow closes or whatever, you go back 3 years and you go, if somebody died either of natural causes, like in their bed, or committed suicide or slipped in the kitchen or something, we need to know. Is there a difference between inside and outside the house? What if Pops Larson was up on the ladder cleaning the gutters out, fell off the ladder outside of the house?
Yeah, it's still on the property, so you have to
disclose
it.
So on the
it.
Property.
Yeah.
And
you're going to have to drag him to the alley.
Drag him out. That's what
I'm on the curb.
Do.
Yeah.
So it's a 3-year thing, and it's any kind of death.
Yeah, it could be anything.
Have you found, for instance, I think mostly women, I feel like women kind of drive the actual buying of the house. Like, if they come into the kitchen and they don't like the kitchen, or it smells a little weird in the house, or whatever, mold right. comes up. Like, mold is the kind of thing where if somebody said, hey, Adam and family, would you like to buy this house? It had a mold problem, but we took care of it. I'd be like, yeah, I'm in. And my wife and the kids would be like, we're out. I'm not, and she'd be like, I don't want those kids in with the mold house and whatever. I just feel
and she's going to win.
It's got some mold and some dude died in the back.
I'm saying,
I'm in.
I think women.
Can we get a good deal?
Yeah.
My feeling is that women, whereas maybe the guys pay for the lion's share of it, the woman makes the decision. And thus, when you're sort of prepping the house to flip the house, I always think have the woman in mind, not hey, we got a hell of a garage out here, buddy. Right, like working with tools.
Yeah, let's be honest here. If there's a guy and a girl going to look at a house and the guy loves it and the wife hates it, they're not buying the house. On the flip side, if they're looking at a house and the wife loves it and the guy's like, eh, whatever, they're going to buy the house. So,
right. So,
I mean, let's
it's
be
an
honest.
Easy read.
Let's be honest. Yeah.
Right. So, with that in mind, if we were talking about doing a master closet bath, let's say, for the woman, versus doing a den, man cave, office or something for the dude, you'd probably be better off focusing on the closet master bath for the woman.
Well, I would say about 1,000,000,000%. Yeah.
About 1,000,000,000%. Interesting.
Yeah, they don't care about the guy. They don't care about the guy.
So I always suspected that. So in terms of...
Are you building for women, essentially, a lot of the time? Don't lie. You're making a funny face.
I'm thinking. I would definitely say it's more geared towards women. Yes.
And for in terms of just what you know, seeing now as the women sort of are driving this thing, if somebody, you know, in their 90s passed peacefully in their bed, I feel like there's a difference between that and suicide. And if the woman finds out suicide in the last 3 years, I don't know why. I don't know why. It was 37 months ago, and now we don't care that the guy put a shotgun in his mouth, but if it was 3 years ago. But the point is if the woman finds that out, that could be a deal breaker.
Absolutely. So obviously we've come across that too. So we've bought places where people have passed, and we've bought places where people kill themselves. Mm-hmm. So it definitely makes it different when you're disclosing to the buyer.
What do you think? I'm going to tease a question that sounds ghoulish, but I would like a percentage of house where nothing happened in this house. Maybe it was, you know, the guy was a professor and he cured polio or something. Like a great guy lived in this house, a great couple, great family, great whatever. Then you got the house where somebody passed away, and then you got the house where somebody killed themselves.
Right.
I just want to know if you could say, well, the best house, $1 million, that's for the loving couple, and they're both professors, and they're on the right side of every cause. You probably heard of him. He wrote a book. That's $1 million. You tell me where we go with the suicide house from $1 million. Exact same house, apples to apples. Don't answer yet. I'm curious, Ray. You got an idea? You thinking about this?
I got a percentage in mind.
I'm thinking about it, too. Simply Safe is what I'm thinking about. Two eyes in there. I understand some people, they get put off with home security, slimy sales guys, long-term contracts, expensive installations. Why bother, man? How about you get some good protection? You do what I did. You do what Mike Dawson did. You do what Mike August did. So easy these days. You go Simply Safe. You get the Simply Safe home security system. Top-of-the-line protection, no long-term lock-in contracts or hidden fees. A peel and stick, no drilling, no crawling around, no pulling wires, no making a mess. The worst, God, I had a house once where they just put the zip wire. They didn't even pull it through the wall. They just put it next to the casing and then caulked over it with their finger.
It's a good look.
It's a good look. It's a classy look. You don't have that. Everything is battery power. The batteries last up to 10 years. So that's a decade there. Just order it online, set it up in an hour, and get your family protected 24/7 and get 10% off now. It's simplysafe.com/Adam. Get your 10% off, simplysafe.com/Adam. Or you can get it today at your local Best Buy. All right. What do we think a $1 million house would be with a great backstory versus suicide?
All right. Since the market is so hot right now and the demand is so high, I would say it would be very, very close to sale price. The one difference I would say is it would take longer to sell. I think they would eventually have to find a buyer that really wouldn't give a shit. Mm-hmm. And eventually you do.
So it's interesting. It's not so much about it'd be $100,000 cheaper. It's more about it would take longer.
Right.
But eventually.
But that length of time could be $100,000.
Well, that's true. Yeah. That's going to, you know, time is money, as they say. And yeah, you're going to find some pagan who's into Santeria or something. And he's going to go, I don't give a shit.
Or somebody's going to buy the house for some mass suicide stuff.
Going full cult.
We're going up.
All right. What do you got, Matt?
Well, we got another email here. This is from Eli in Everett, Washington, about 30 minutes north of Seattle. Thanks so much for the weekly entertainment. Loved having the chance to meet Ray and others at the Seattle Bar Crawl. When riding the bus, Ray looked my wife up and down, then looked me straight in the eye and said, "Your wife has big boobs." I was honored.
That's not the Ray I know.
I didn't do that.
All right.
He goes on to say,
There was a couple, the guy I called, I told him the guy was... He was gay. The guy was gay in the relationship.
He had a beard. He had a wife with him.
Yeah.
It was a beard.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Yeah, we can look forward to more of that.
It's good that you coach up people. It's good that you coach them up in terms of their sexuality.
All right,
it's important. I don't say it's good. It's important.
Thank you.
Eli goes on to say, I have an old Tudor house built in 1925. The fireplace is original and unmolested aside from the bronze insert you see in the picture. I want to preserve and restore the decorative brick and tile surround. However, I'm not sure what type of material it actually is, ceramic tile, brick, etc., nor do I know what type of cleaner I should use. Hoping the pictures are enough for you guys to get an ID on the material. Any advice would be great.
I got to say, Ray and I have done a few fireplaces in our day. My greatest achievement was my greatest achievement was making that hearth out of MDF.
Okay, that was a good one.
That was a great achievement.
Yeah. But the bigger achievement was ripping out the old fireplace and relocating it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That, I don't know how you did that.
We did it.
That's tough.
Ray did it.
So I have a question.
There it is,
right
there.
That's a picture of the old house with the old fireplace.
Wow.
Yeah, and the batch elder. Yeah.
I ripped that fireplace out from another location, and we placed it there.
That's wild.
Yeah. And that's the other one. I get mostly, I get the placement credit. I remember nothing felt better. I remember I was putting up these big tiles. They were deep, man. They were brick.
Yeah, they're almost brick. They're hollow core.
They're like 3 inches deep.
Yeah, so they're awesome.
I have a question. So when did you guys do all this stuff?
When?
Yeah.
When do I not do that?
Yeah. I'm saying you still do this type of work.
Yeah, he doesn't. No.
No, I put this shit up, though. Come on.
Yeah, you did. When was that? 5 years ago?
2 years
Six?
Ago. Yeah.
Yeah, so recent.
Yeah, recent. Yeah. Diamond blade. So let's go at it.
So he was asking about the gold on the fireplace as well, right? The metal?
Well, he's getting rid
of
that.
He's going to get rid of that.
You can
powder coat it black. But.
Yeah, powder coat's nice. All right, these tiles, Ray, they're like 6x6 or
they're
something?
All batch elder, yeah.
Are they batch elder?
Yeah, there are other.
They look batch elder.
They're American. I forget what they call it. There's three companies that made it, but they look batch elder.
Yeah, they look like it. Now, they look worn off or.
They were painted.
Were they
looks
painted?
Looks like they were painted.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It could be.
The dark parts paint.
That. I don't know. Is that paint?
I do.
Why is that paint? Why isn't it soot or whatever? I don't know. It looks worn. It's weird. I can't tell. So here's the point. I've done fireplaces a bunch of times. You can clean them. You can take the paint off. You can bring them back. The problem is when the glaze is gone, the glaze is gone. It looks worn off to me. The best thing you can do, and they're pretty durable. Like, I did my stuff with, like, Jasco and a wire brush and stuff when it was all painted over. I didn't even know what was on it, my first fireplace.
You didn't go beyond the glaze, though, at all.
No, but the glaze is durable, is what I'm saying.
It'll take it.
I think you clean the hell out of it. Then you get a scenic painter, and that scenic painter will match it up. I've done it a bunch of times. Just match up the stuff and then finish it. You ready?
Yeah, yeah.
I think with wax. Now, maybe the heat in the wax is not great, but I think, or clear. I've done clear as well.
I would do a matte clear, if anything. And then I would just clean it up, and then I'd coat it with the matte. I wouldn't get a scenic paint.
I'd go satin. Oh, no. I'd go satin clear. I wouldn't go matte clear.
Satin, not bad.
Mm-hmm.
Not shiny, though.
Yeah. Matte clear's was Fondelier's gay porn name.
Still is.
Working with matte clear. Yeah.
By the way, it's a great looking fireplace.
It's not
and
good.
Period.
It doesn't look great with the shirt off, but his skin is fantastic.
Yeah, Matt nice
Clear.
Skin.
Yeah, really nice skin. He's soft to the touch. All right, let me tell you about. All right, so everybody with your fireplaces, I am telling you, Ray and I have taken fireplaces out of other houses and put them in other houses and like reconfigured the shape, made extra pieces out of MDF. And had them
you
done
bought
up.
With some. You bought some extras, remember?
Bought you extra tiles.
And what were like, they each? They were like $40 a
like
piece?
Cobbled it together. I made a hearth out of this MDF. I took three of them. I stacked them up. I put a bullnose on the front. I worked it with a wire cup and like pillowed
you
it.
You mimicked the one
had
we
them,
had.
Had them matched by the scenic painter and glazed and put them back off and grouted in between. And people
Couldn't tell.
Like, that is tile. And I'd go, that's MDF. And they'd go, no way. Like, it was crazy how accurate it turned out.
And by the way, the can you throw the picture up again? The bronze you have going there, that's like Art Nouveau or it's period, but it's the wrong period to match your tile, unfortunately.
Well, it's not their period. Yeah, it's
right.
60s period or whatever.
Looks like mid-century something that was stuck up. It's brass, dude. It's
kind of like,
cool.
It feels bad 70s to me, though.
All right.
That's
get rid
me.
Of it, though.
Get
it doesn't
rid of
work.
It. All right. And say hello to HelloFresh, man. You want a convenient, easy meal kit delivery system? You check out HelloFresh. This stuff is the best, man. They send you step-by-step recipes, pre-measured ingredients, so you can just cook, eat, and enjoy. I've used them. We've used them at the house. Bring them home. Hand it to Olga, the nanny. Say, baby, rattle those pots and pans. And she makes it, and it is perfect. It's her favorite. We tried a few different ones, but she loves HelloFresh. They have three plans to choose from, classic, veggie, and family. Order 3, 4, 5 different meals per week for 2 to 4 people. Individual boxes keep each meal separate and fresh, and the stuff's just better than you think it has to be. It's really impressive. Less than $10 a meal, new delicious recipes each week, step-by-step instructions, takes about 30 minutes, boom, done, and it looks just like the picture that comes with the meal. And really interesting combination. So for $30 off your first week, just visit HelloFresh.com. HelloFresh.com. Enter ACE30. These guys are good sponsors. Support them and have a great meal. HelloFresh.com. Enter ACE30 and get your $30 off your first week. All right, we got one more in there.
Yeah, we got one more. This one's from Twitter, actually. And if you're not already, please follow us on Twitter at Ace on the House. Here's a tweet from Compton Familia. I'm looking at a home built in the 1920s up in the mountains. Any bad warning red flag signs I should look out for? Asbestos, wiring, etc.
Everything.
Everything. About in the hills out here?
Not specific.
Oh, Compton Familia. It's a crazy name. All right.
That appears to be his last name, Compton.
Compton. Mm-hmm. Okay. From the Compton family. Oh, Familia. All right.
He's probably looking at those hills in La Brea.
Maybe.
I'm just
either
saying.
Way. So here's the thing with the hills and the old. It's all bad. Everything's a mess. It's probably got the tube and post and pull wire, or whatever the hell that is. What is that, Ray?
Knob and tube.
Knob and tube. There you go. A lot of that junk. Everything's bad. Yeah, on the other hand, it's not going anywhere.
Soil issues would be what would scare me.
Yeah. You got to get a soils report and everything else. And like as far as like asbestos goes, yeah, all the heater vents have asbestos on the outside of it. But it's kind of like a hornet's nest, which is like if it's just there and you just keep walking, it's pretty good. But if you throw a rock at it, there's problems. You start tearing it out. Now it goes airborne, you know, gets
more
weaponized.
Problems.
Like, look, it is what it is. It's a tougher. I've done houses up in the hills. Everything's tougher. It's tougher to get the materials up to the house. It's tougher to get the truck around the corner. You know, it's like everything's a pain in the ass.
Tougher to pour concrete.
But you have a kick ass view, you know. So you kind of got that going for you. So it's really. Sort of, yeah, there's a reason. Like, living in Malibu is a pain in the ass, but you get to live in Malibu. You know, it's that kind of a thing. And look, driving a Ferrari is a pain in the ass, but you get to drive a Ferrari. Like, that's how life is. You can't
get These are all things I know nothing about.
Let me explain to you how Ferrari feels when I go down PCH on my way to Point Doom to my home in Malibu.
So, all right.
Yeah, wind flowing through my long blonde hair. Got my beautiful redhead at my side, like that song.
Gary Newman.
How much I love L.A. Yeah. All right. So do it. But there's going to be, I would definitely start with my soils report and my foundation. And like I bought a house from 1923 up in the hills. Like it wasn't even bolted to the foundation. There's no shear wall. There's no earthquake, anything. It's just sitting there. But on the other hand, it just was sitting there for 75 years. Not like it went anywhere. And you'd be surprised what just gravity and toenailing will do. Like no straps, no plywood, no nothing. Although the house was kind of coming undone. Jesus Christ.
We did a lot there.
There was a lot. There was like walls. There were things to move. God, their things were like sagging and bagging.
Will you like not go for a house that needs... Too much or
major
depends,
structural stuff,
or what? Just does it depend where the location is, and then you'll go for it.
I mean, I'll buy anything. Just depends on the location. You know, one of the things that I run into when I'm trying to get into new states is where the dirt doesn't have enough value. So you can buy a house for $1,000, you have to put 80 into it, then it's worth 60. So
yeah, not
that's the only time I would pass.
Bad math.
Yeah,
people got to be shocked when they come out here and see what you know $2 million gets you in some neighborhoods. In a lot of these neighborhoods on the west side. That's a teardown.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. For example, North Carolina, I mean, you're looking at 6,000 square foot houses, new construction for like $500,000. So I don't even know how they build
them. And they're beautiful.
I don't even know how they build them. I mean,
let alone, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of the lumber comes from the state, right?
Yeah, it's just wild. I don't know how they build for that price.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about 100 bucks
a square foot or something.
Something under 100 bucks a square foot on new construction. Absolutely insane. All right, let me tell you about. Something that Well, you should go to Geico and then go to North Carolina and get yourself a big spread with all the money you save. Save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance. You don't have to drop anything off or pick anything up. Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Put that extra money in your pocket. And, hell, get a new tool. If you're listening to this show, you probably like tools. Get a laser level. One of those torpedo ones that got the laser built into it. I like those. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. All right, if you're listening to the show, that means tomorrow, Sunday, November 12th, Oxnard Levity Live, doing a live podcast with Doug Benson over there. Why shouldn't I work on a Sunday? And then Tuesday, November 21st, Pasadena Ice House. Why shouldn't I work on a Tuesday, man? We'll do a live show there. Me and Dennis Prager, November 29th, Brooklyn, New York. King's Theater. Always good to be up on stage with Dennis Prager. Go to Corolla Drinks and say hi to Lynette over there. Tarek, let's see. Website, hgtv.com is where you can go. The charity. We should mention your charity. NFL's Crucial Catch. That's your cancer charity, correct?
That one, as well as the American Cancer Society and a foundation called the Lazarex Cancer Foundation.
Let's support that. And you check the website, HGTV, for Flipper Flop, and you check all the different variations and all the different places. And
But
and
most then, of all, check out his.
Yeah, check out his. And then check out for the times and scheduling, right? Got that? Or is there anything we're missing, Tark?
Well, we are cranking out Season 7 right now. We're about halfway through, and they're expecting it to air late spring, early summer. And we're really excited about the new season. We have some really cool houses going, and Israel Batras, he's one of the main contractors again, and we're working as hard as we can to make it the best show possible.
Well, it is loved around here, I got to say. These guys, they're not even homeowners.
What a dick.
Well, it's not that they can't afford it. They're just not worthy of homeownership. That's all. It's an emotional block, right? It's like you're.
It's pretty wild how the show's developed over the years.
So please check that out on HGTV.com. Until next time, this is Adam Ferrey and Tark saying, keep the air. Oh, wait a minute. Say mahalo. Wrong show.
Subscribe on iTunes or visit aceontheroof.com. This is Corolla Digital.